having hard time in India dealing with many of the Indians, because many times Indians would see the white body and they would cheat them, trick them. So one time one devotee in that frustration, he told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I don't like Indians." So Prabhupada said, "You don't like me also?" So he said, "No, Prabhupada." So Prabhupada said, "But I am also Indian." So that devotee said, "No, Prabhupada, the Indians are very tricksters. They always trick us." So Prabhupada said, "I am also a trickster. I also tricked all of you. If I had not tricked you, you would have not become devotees of Krishna." So Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purport in Srimad Bhagavatam that the great souls, they cheat for a greater purpose. So cheating is there, but cheating is to bring a person back to his original constitutional position. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master was his Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada. And his usual style, he would say that actually in this world there are 5 sampradayas. So we all know about the 4 sampradayas. The bona fide sampradaya, Brahma sampradaya, Rudra sampradaya, Shri sampradaya, and Kumar sampradaya. But he said there is a fifth sampradaya also. And he said the fifth sampradaya is the vanchaka sampradaya. The sampradaya of cheaters and the cheated. So he mentioned if a person is not in a bona fide organization in one of these 4 sampradayas, then he ultimately falls in the fifth sampradaya. The sampradaya of cheaters and the cheated. So Srila Prabhupada, he cheated all of us. In what style? He took us all from the cheaters and cheated sampradaya and brought us to the bona fide sampradaya of Gaudiya sampradaya. And he put us under the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada's contribution is unique. By his mercy, we are all here. And today we have a wonderful opportunity to share and to glorify him. And today is a very wonderful day. Many devotees have come in spite of a weak day. So without much spending time here, we will begin the offerings. At this point, I will request His Grace Srinaji Prabhu, who is a very senior member in our temple here. In fact, he has seen Srila Prabhupada and he has so much of memories of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has visited his house also. So Srinaji Prabhu will now come and we will inaugurate the Vyas Puja book. We will ask Srinaji Prabhu to come ahead and show the Vyas Puja book to His Divine Grace. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. So now I'll request His Grace Srinaji Prabhu to begin his offering. Meanwhile, Krishna Chandra Prabhu be ready.
Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutade Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashat Deshtarine. So I am reading from page 167 of the Sri Vyas Puja book just released today. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to your divine grace. As years pass and we delve deeper and deeper into the meanings of your various lectures, articles and teachings, we have no option but to be more and more humble, seeing the great magnitude of true devotional service you offered to Lord Krishna through the Guru Ivam Parampara. No words can express our gratitude. Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita that the purest of all devotees who know Vasudev are never under the control of the material nature, but are totally surrendered to Lord Krishna and are under the guidance of his spiritual master. Such Mahatmas use 100% of their energy and time only in the activities of Krishna consciousness, carrying out the orders of their spiritual masters. You elucidated these points in your detailed purports. Out of millions of living entities, hardly one even comes to the fundamental level of understanding Krishna and surrendering to him. And out of such millions of such devotees, only one can surrender 100% to Krishna so that the Lord fulfills all his desires. We have seen over and over again that Lord Krishna fulfilled all your desires, Srila Prabhupada. To make sure your desires were fulfilled, Krishna extended your life twice after you had nearly left this world, once on your sea voyage on the Jaladuta and once again after your stroke in May 1967 in New York. Krishna gave you just enough time to fulfill your Guru Maharaj's desire that you spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings to every town and village in this world. I have been given... I have seen every continent of this world and have been surprised and extremely delighted to find your books, devotees, or some of your messages even in the darkest jungles of Africa, the deserts of Asia and Australia, the most remote islands of Pacific Ocean, and the snow-clad mountains of South America, Canada, etc. There are many instances where devotees have taken a cue from your teachings and examples and bravely preached for extremely adverse or dangerous conditions. For example, in the 1990s, devotees daily distributed prasadam in Bosnia during the war that was going on there. Even during serious floods, earthquakes and epidemics, devotees have continued to offer the best devotional service by distributing your books and prasadam. And during the annual December book distribution marathon, they often rest only 2 or 3 hours a night. Such devotional feats surely confirm that you and those who carry out your orders are not under the control of Mahamaya, but under the supervision of Yogamaya. Alas, when will the day come when at least 10% of the world's people are Krishna conscious? Even those Shrestas who lead the world into the next 10,000 years golden age, when everyone lives under the banner of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna consciousness. Praying to always stay in the service of the Guru Ivam Parampara and Lord Krishna, we remain your servants at the ISKCON temple at Chopati, Mumbai, India. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Radha Krishna Prabhu, be ready.
Srila Prabhupada, we all know about his compassion, which was really what brought all the really created ISKCON and all the whole world, so many millions of devotees who came forward, was really his very deep understanding of people. I just wanted to touch upon this point, but from a understanding of how sometimes we overlook how his purity made Krishna really speak through him and gave him that uncanny or almost like a genius understanding of what the person, whether it's a devotee or a non-devotee, where he came from, what was his mind or his heart. So just a couple of instances. Once the Hridayananda Maharaj, one of the earliest disciples of Srila Prabhupada, one of the senior most sannyasis today, when they were preaching in Mexico, when Prabhupada came there, they would always bring many new devotees, many new people, new faces, especially important people to come to meet Prabhupada. So there was this lady who was just crowned Miss Mexico the previous year. So they thought that she is an important person and she willingly came to meet Srila Prabhupada. So everyone was excited that such an important person came to meet him. So, you know, there these people, they are actually very well trained. They know what to speak, how to speak, the kind of, you know, the mannerisms, and everything is just right. They speak politely and you know, they flutter their eyes in the same way. So they were looking and so she spoke, they said, you know, I'm so happy to meet you, I'd like to come again. So Prabhupada just, you know, closed his eyes, half closed his eyes and looked at her and said, why? So she was not expecting that, you know, somebody had asked why she wants to come. And then before she could ask and say anything, Prabhupada said, have you read my books? So she said, no. I said, then why do you want to come? So he wasn't trying to humiliate, but he immediately knew that this was just the complete superficiality, and so he just cut through that. At the same time, we know how time after time, devotees had those who had difficulties, those some left the movement, many could not follow the principles even though they were there in the movement, and he was so compassionate to them, he would encourage them, in fact he would always stand up for them even when others were you know, strict. The presidents, temple presidents may be very strict, but Prabhupada would always extend his love for them. So, you know, he demonstrated that if there's a sincere wish, even if it's a weak person, he was always very supportive. But if somebody is being extremely either duplicitous or highly diplomatic with him, then Prabhupada would always be giving, teaching a lesson. In that same note, Giriraj Maharaj relates that once he was, when he was a brahmachari, he was walking with Srila Prabhupada on the beach, and he was, as was the custom, devotees would speak about what they've done. So he had been very, he had been successful with a newspaper man and how he was preaching to him. So Prabhupada was very happy. So he's saying, you know, you are a very talented PR, public relations man. So Giriraj Swami felt very elated. And then they kept walking forward, and then after some time the topic came on humility. So Giriraj Maharaj said that actually find it so difficult, you know, to be, to find this quality. So sometimes I feel that I'm not doing anything for Krishna or Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada said that that's actually a sign of humbleness. So Giriraj Maharaj said that, but I am, but sometimes that feeling of humbleness gets converted into Maya. So Prabhupada immediately stopped and looked at him and says, what do you mean converted into Maya? You're always in Maya. So Giriraj Maharaj says that it was such a shock to him that he actually immediately, he just fell on the ground and prostrated obeisances to him. I never forgot that. So it was Prabhupada was teaching a lesson, telling us that how dangerous Maya is. So he knew exactly, now he made this one statement which became a guiding principle for His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. And the last example was one Mataji, Jyotirmayi Mataji in France. She was a very active preacher, very dynamic. So when Prabhupada came there, she was French. So when Prabhupada came to Paris, she brought one of the most famous doctors to meet Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was but to get him, get her to meet him, I'm sorry, to get the doctor to meet Prabhupada, she had to kind of just, you know, give some story that he's not well and so on. So, because he wouldn't come, he was so busy, he was probably the most famous doctor in Paris. So somehow he came. But he came and then Prabhupada was resting upstairs, so he met some other devotees and he asked that what has happened to him. They said, no, he's fine. So as soon as he heard that, the doctor just immediately went away. So this Jyotirmayi Mataji was very upset. She was saying, what will I tell Prabhupada because he's gone. So then she went up, and because Prabhupada was expecting, so she said that, this doctor came and I had to tell him like this that you were not well, and that he was coming to treat you. You are the patient. And then because once he came to know that you are all right, then he went away. So instead of getting worried, Prabhupada started laughing. He was laughing and laughing, and then she was bewildered. And then he said, you know, the doctor knew that he was the patient. So actually, somehow he sensed that the doctor was actually, when he came, he felt that somebody is going to talk to me and I'm treating medically, but something that he probably didn't want to hear that. So he went away. So Prabhupada sensed that. And the last story was that a very famous devotee in the mid-60s, after Prabhupada started the movement in New York, he was actually perhaps the most dynamic and strong preacher of the time. This story is given by Jayadvait Maharaj, and he says that this devotee, he had started the center in Buffalo, and he was, in his words, he said he was terrifyingly good in arguments, in tearing down the arguments of hippies and others who came. You know, nobody could stand up to his arguments. He was so powerful. And so when he made actually more than 20, 25 of the top leaders who were present in ISKCON. They came through his center there. But then in 69, early 69, he left. And then in 71, he wrote to Prabhupada saying that he expressed a desire to come back. So devotees were very ecstatic. And Prabhupada was in another continent. Prabhupada was in India and he was in America. And he said that I would like to join again. So Prabhupada wrote, you're welcome. But, you know, you have to go through, like all the other devotees, get up for Mangalati, come for chanting. In other words, you have to give up your separate independence. Now, he sensed that this devotee wanted to come back, even though he had left for 2 years, he wanted to come back in the same way as if he was the president and start resuming preaching and so on. And Prabhupada sensed that he still had that independent streak and felt that he could do it on his own, rather than becoming a humble devotee and understanding how to get attached to the temple. So everyone was ecstatic. Prabhupada welcomed him, but he said, you have to do this. And he mentioned you have to give up your separate independence. And the devotee never came. He never joined after that. So there are many instances that you can see that Prabhupada had that amazing internal potency, which none of us can understand, but actually which came from Krishna revealing to him just at the right time how to motivate or how to help another person, which may be from a strong instruction, it may be strong, but it is actually for his benefit, or it may be just an encouragement to somebody who had any difficulties. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. While Srinathji Prabhu was doing this chamara, it just occurred to me that one of Srila Prabhupada's greatest qualities was that he wanted to get the most influential people of our country to Krishna consciousness. So what we are seeing today in the form of Srinathji Prabhu doing a humble service of being peacock fan seva to Srila Prabhupada is a desire of Prabhupada, where his father Dharam Sibhai was the MP of the Rajya Sabha. So Prabhupada, you know, latched on to him and got in touch with him to see that he can get some important people involved. And the result of the seed of he planted there was the entire dynasty of Dharam Sipai Desai, then Srinathji Prabhu, and then the whole lineage which follows after them in the form of Keshav Prabhu and others have become devotees. In a similar note, Krishna Prabhu also, who are our senior most Vaishnavas of this temple, almost like pillars. But Prabhupada wanted to get, as I said, the important people involved, and he met Arvind Bhai Mafatlal personally, and he was very kind to him, and they had a good exchange. And Prabhupada handed his personal, with his own hands, the Bhagavatam set which he had written before going to America. And the seed planted there in the heart of Arvind Bhai Mafatlal has fructified in the form of the entire Mafatlal family at the feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So we can see the desire of Prabhupada is so strong. This very temple has come as a desire of Prabhupada when he just said, let there be temple here. So all glory to Srila Prabhupada's powerful desire to make the world Krishna conscious. And as Naji Prabhu said, if 10% of the people become Krishna conscious, the whole world will change. Now we have a transcendentalist speaking. Radha Krishna Prabhu. Next, let's request Radhika Vallabh Prabhu to kindly be ready.
So, continuing with the theme which Srinathji Prabhu started, that Krishna fulfills the desire of a pure devotee, and as Dwarkadish Prabhu just now set the same ball rolling, I would like to narrate a few quotations and some of the talks which Srila Prabhupada had in connection with one of his dearest projects, and that was prasad distribution. It was Srila Prabhupada's desire that prasad should be distributed in large quantities. So Srila Prabhupada called for the expansion of a mass food distribution program in Mayapur. This program became known as ISKCON Food Relief. We didn't know this. When we named the trust as ISKCON Food Relief Foundation, none of us had seen this, which was there in the archives. During the Bangladesh War in 1971, about 10 million refugees left Bangladesh and entered India to escape the genocide of civilians by the Pakistani military. Many of these persons camped in and around Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada met with Mr. Kenneth Keating, who was the US ambassador in India, in March of 1972. Shortly thereafter, there was an agreement between Gurudas Prabhu and Mr. Keating that ISKCON would be provided grains for mass food distribution by the United States Food, Peace and through UNICEF. Later, Srila Prabhupada ordered that a huge pavilion be built in Mayapur to facilitate prasadam distribution at no cost to those receiving the prasad. Devotees worldwide were enlisted in collecting donations for ISKCON food relief. With Srila Prabhupada's knowledge and encouragement, Srila Prabhupada's direct involvement in these activities is reflected in his correspondence and discussions, as I will just read out verbatim. Letter to Madhavananda, April 25th, 1972. I am very glad to hear that Mr. Jalan has given rupees 10,000. This is 1972. So you can just count it as 10 lakhs today. As our work progresses, especially the building itself, the school and the prasadam distribution programs, these will put us very much favorably in the public eye. And many, many big men in Calcutta can give tremendous sums for such good public welfare work. In a letter to Giriraj Swami, who was then Giriraj Brahmachari, April 23, 1972, in Bombay there are many generous persons who like food distribution programs, and actually our temples should be the via media for feeding the poor with food. Our Bombay program should be based on giving Krishna consciousness through the English medium and distribution of prasadam without any discrimination. This will enhance our prestige and will accelerate our spiritual life as well. Letter to Gurudas on June 12, 1972. I am very glad to hear that the American officers in Delhi are very much favorable to our movement. It is very good news. If you can persuade them to give us foodstuffs directly, then we shall use it properly and America's prestige will be widely spread throughout India. We can organize for distribution of prasadam all over India, in factories, schools and so on. If we simply have kirtan and distribute nice prasadam everywhere, there will be good respect for us. Another letter to Bhavananda, August 1st, 1972. One thing is, I have just now heard from Gurudas that the American government agency, which is providing us the foodstuffs for Mayapur, is prepared to give us much, much more, provided we fully utilize what they have already given us. And I am informed by Gurudas that the distribution program in Mayapur is not very widespread. Why you have neglected this very important program? I want that you shall distribute prasadam at least to hundreds of persons daily and advertise very widely all over Nadia province for people to come there and take prasadam daily without charge. It goes on, a letter to Yadubara. I saw your film last night and it was very nice. We can collect a lot of money with this film for ISKCON food relief program, but not a single farthing of that money should be used for any other thing. It should all go to ISKCON food relief fund and nothing else. Srila Prabhupada's desire was to have a huge prasadam distribution program, and it is only because of the desire of such a pure devotee that today ISKCON Food Relief Foundation is distributing 12 lakhs prasadam plates every day. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. So I would just like to glorify Srila Prabhupada with few of the statements from the Srimad Bhagavatam which inspired me by comparing Srila Prabhupada with the different personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Narada Muni. Narada Muni, he preached to the sons of Daksha Prajapati, Harieshwas and Savalashwas. So Narada Muni just spoke some riddle, and he, just by that riddle, the 10,000 sons of Daksha Prajapati, they actually they understood the essence of Krishna consciousness, and then they actually renounced. So Narada Muni actually preached to highly intellectual people, and the same Narada Muni also preached to persons like Mrugari, who are actually was very obstinate and stubborn to give up the material desires. So Narada, similarly Srila Prabhupada, he preached to intellectuals, professors, scientists, and he also preached to people who are very simple people like hippies who are very much attached to different bad habits. So Narada, this way Srila Prabhupada exhibited these qualities of Narada Muni. Another quality exhibited by Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam third canto, when Lord Krishna disappeared from this world, Lord Krishna took all the Dwarkavasis along with him to the spiritual world, and he told Uddhava to go to Badrikashram and to give his association to the sages of Badrikashram. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Uddhava was more eager to execute the instructions of the Supreme Lord than for going back to the spiritual world. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada was more eager to execute the instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur than to stay in Vrindavan Dham. And another quality exhibited by Vritrasur. When Vritrasur was fighting with Indra, Vritrasur fought with Indra till the last moment of his breath. In fact, his two arms were cut off by Indra, and his two legs were cut off, but still Vritrasur kept on fighting, although he knew that he was going to be defeated. At the end, Vritrasur swallowed Indra, and then thinking that Indra has died, and then Vritrasur started meditating upon the Supreme Lord. And his meditation was so potent, he was so much absorbed in meditating on the Supreme Lord, that when Indra came out of his stomach, and then Indra was trying to cut the neck of Vritrasur, but still Vritrasur was so much absorbed that he didn't even perceive that somebody was actually killing him. So usually when we are doing so many activities physically, we may be able to do many activities, but then it becomes very difficult sometimes. If you are very tired, we may do many things, but then it becomes very difficult to sit and hear for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It becomes more difficult to focus our hearing, focus our internal senses. But Srila Prabhupada, he was actually putting so much of energy in doing so many projects, he was meeting so many people. But at the same time, in the night, he was actually focused on translating Srila Prabhupada, translating the Srimad Bhagavatam and giving his purports. So in this way, he was externally focused his senses in preaching, and internally also he was completely absorbed. And lastly, there is a beautiful purport which I always cherish. In the episode of Prithu Maharaj, when Prithu Maharaj meets the four Kumaras, when the four Kumaras actually, they disappeared after giving instructions to Prithu Maharaj, so as I explained that, even the common citizens were also hearing the instructions which the four Kumaras gave to Prithu Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada says that usually the four Kumaras, they would not be visible to ordinary people. But here, even the common citizens of Prithu Maharaj were able to actually witness four Kumaras. So that is because they were actually, because of their connection with Prithu Maharaj. So four Kumaras came for Prithu Maharaj, but the citizens, because of their connection with Prithu Maharaj, they were able to actually see the four Kumaras and hear from him. So similarly, I was thinking like we have so many books of the previous acharyas are coming out, but we are able to actually read those books, we are able to understand those books because of our connection with, because of the strength we get by receiving, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So Srila Prabhupada is like Prithu Maharaj, and the four Kumaras is like the previous acharyas. Yes, so the common citizens, because of the relationship with Prithu Maharaj, they were able to actually establish the connection with the previous acharya. Similarly, because of our connection with Srila Prabhupada, we are able to actually read the books of Srila Prabhupada. So I would just like to I just want to show my gratefulness to giving this opportunity to associate with the sincere devotees and read Srila Prabhupada's books and share with others. I hope that I'll be able to follow one day.
Hare Krishna. That figure of 12 lakhs was very appalling, Radha Krishna Prabhu. I thought it was 4 lakhs, but I think, I don't know how it became 12 lakhs. It was fantastic. Taking clue from what you just said, Radha Prabhu, about the focus and Prabhupada's writing of his books, and how deeply absorbed he was in his writing of books. There's a very nice story about his absorption. As you know, Prabhupada used to translate in the middle of the night when everything was absolutely shut off, everyone was sleeping, dead of night, no sounds whatsoever. At one time, when he was sitting there, he was disturbed by a drop of water falling from a tap. Just one. Tap. Tap, like that. And he woke up his servant, that was Hariswari Prabhu, he had to go and find out which tap is leaking. And he went to so many taps to find out where is that tap which is leaking, and he couldn't really figure out anything like that. At last, there's a distant tap several meters away from Prabhupada, which was dropping one every second. And even that sound was disturbing Prabhupada's deep absorption. There was a fan that was going on in some other building, in some opposite building. And Prabhupada was so deeply absorbed in his writing of his books, that one fan. So 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, this devotee goes to that particular house and said, "You please stop your fan because our acharya is translating here." So we can imagine that the Prabhupada's absorption was absolutely 100%, and nothing in this world was more important, and even the slightest disturbance was too much for Prabhupada. So that was his absorption in his service of writing Srila Prabhupada's books, which we all need to read, of course. Radhavala Prabhu, would like to request you to kindly come over. And after that, we'll request Tulsi Manjari Mataji, kindly please be ready. Before he starts, a request for the wonderful devotees here to kindly immediately take out their mobiles and put them on silent mode or shut it off. This sacred gathering should not be disturbed by the family sounds of technology.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, few days back our Jagannath Prabhu, he was giving Bhagavatam class. And you were speaking about the cowherd boys approaching the brahmanas for begging some food. And they were refused by the brahmanas. And they returned and told Krishna that they actually refused. Krishna laughed because Acharya explained, Prabhupada explains that he knew that they were going to refuse. And he said, never mind, beggars can always be refused. Beggars are mostly refused. So don't mind. Then Jagannath Prabhu was relating this story. Recently he met one person and he happened to be a secretary or some staff of Srimati Moraji, one who gave the ticket to Prabhupada to America, to New York. So he was saying Prabhupada kept coming to that office for more than hundreds of times. And normally we beg and sometimes we ask for charity, whatever. And if somebody says no, we don't care. I mean, once or twice we'll approach, then we'll say, okay, move to the next person. But here, although he was refused repeatedly over and again, Srila Prabhupada was showing his determination and his desire to fulfill his spiritual master's instructions. And he kept begging for more than 100 times. Later, I was reading Bhagavad Gita once, and in the 18th chapter, that the slokas are there, where it is said in one sloka that a person in mode of goodness, he pursues or puts on his endeavor to activities, he does his activities with determination and enthusiasm, both the things, even if they face of failures or success, whatever it is. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, a very short, very nice purport, he says, even if there is bodily discomfort, a person, a devotee of Krishna, Prabhupada always gives a purport as how a Krishna conscious devotee follows those instructions of Krishna. He says that even if there is a bodily discomfort, still a person continues his activities with determination as well as enthusiasm. It's a very too difficult combination. So in Prabhupada's life we see that how he actually struggled so much. He begged so honestly to fulfill his spiritual master's desires. And although there are so many bodily discomfort he personally underwent, you know, there are heart attacks, so many things happened, all of us read those pastimes. He just, so those purports coming from Krishna's instructions are actually somewhat his own experiences. He's put and exhibited by example how a pure devotee actually pursues. So, so another thing, devotees are expressing how prasadam and books are two things Prabhupada really focused. He was, although he was old, he was still cooking and offering prasadam to so many whoever came to his temple. And his books are like law books. Prabhupada said these are law books. So law books means an expert lawyer actually knows every detail of the law books, otherwise he may fail the case. So to defend Prabhupada, to defend Krishna as the Supreme Lord, he wrote these law books. So we have to, it's my personal prayer at the lotus feet of Prabhupada that I can study these books and so that I can be a good lawyer and defend Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Next, request Bamsi Gopal Prabhu is here. Can you be ready?
Hare Krishna. One day in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada's servant heard Prabhupada yelling from his room. The servant rushed into his room and asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what's the matter? Prabhupada said, this rascal monkey has stolen my shoe. Then Prabhupada asked the servant to get a cane and some pedas. Prabhupada then walked out of the room in search of the monkey. The monkey was on the roof with the shoe in his hand. Prabhupada tried to scare him off with the cane, but it didn't work. Then Prabhupada saw that the monkey was moving to and fro, and and the monkey was waving the shoe in provocation. Understanding Prabhupada, understanding the monkey's trick, Prabhupada asked the servant to extend the peda to him. Seeing the peda, the monkey came forward and extended the shoe. He quickly came to Prabhupada's servant, quickly snatched away the peda, but did not give back the shoe. This happened 3 times. Each time they extended the switch, he took it away without returning the peda. 3 times he cheated and he won. Then triumphantly, he sat quite away from them and he started chewing Prabhupada's shoe. He ripped off the heel, he ripped off the inner portion of the shoe and started grinning. Prabhupada said, "He has ruined my shoe," and he went back to his room. The servant continued to try to get back the shoe, but in vain. And the servant also returned to the room. When the monkey saw that both of them have gone, he left the shoe on the roof and he ran away. Then one of the devotees went up, got the shoe back to Prabhupada. It was ripped. It had marks of the teeth of the monkey on the shoe. But Prabhupada decided to keep it, and he continued to use it for 1 full year after the incident. One of Prabhupada's devotees asked Prabhupada, "Is it true that the present day monkeys in Vrindavan were sadhus or saints in the past who had fallen from spiritual life and will go back to Golok Vrindavan in the next life?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, it is true. And even though these rascals, they steal food, Krishna mercifully gives them butter with his own hands in Golok Vrindavan." Prabhupada was very careful about how he used ISKCON money. If a parcel had to be sent somewhere, he first asked which was cheaper, hand delivery or sending it by post. And he chose the cheapest method, even if it meant saving just a few rupees. He said, "It's Krishna's energy and it has to be used discreetly. It cannot be wasted." With patience and love, Prabhupada taught his disciples deity worship, how to dress, how to eat, how to preach, and everything else. He was so affectionate, so compassionate. They loved him so much. "Prabhupada, you have given us a way of life. Without your mercy and compassion, I dread to think what my life would have been like. I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for your love and compassion. I need your blessings, Prabhupada. I need your guidance, love and compassion. Thank you very much for all that you have done for us." Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I think that brings us on a very more practical note, that saving Krishna's energy, whether it is the fan or the tube light or anything which is on without its purpose. Srila Prabhupada was at Vrindavan and duties of circumambulating the temple. And this is a popular story, you may have heard it many times before, but just to put the point in focus, Prabhupada took the first round and said, "You see but you don't see." And then the people were wondering, what is Prabhupada seeing which you don't see? He said, "You see but you don't see," second round. So devotees were getting very eager to see that Prabhupada was probably seeing something very esoteric in Vrindavan.
He was probably seeing the Nitya Leela of Radha Krishna happening there, right there in the compound. Something very deep was happening. And then a third round took place and Prabhupada said, "You see but you don't see." And then Vivekananda was getting bewildered. What is Prabhupada talking about? It was getting too much. The curiosity was getting too much. And the Prabhupada said, "It is already broad daylight and the tube light is on, but you see but you don't see it." So Prabhupada was very, very, very sharp. When you walk down the road, if there was unconnected road, unconnected tap, which was not connected to his discount property, but if the tap was on, he would personally go and close the tap. So I think that makes us a little conscious when we are in our own homes, when we are using the electricity, when using the, you know, our water, it all comes from Krishna. So in our own homes, in small ways, by keeping this point in mind, we can even be a little more extra Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. So, Bumsikwar Prabhu, you are ready, and then thereafter, Braj Leela Mataji, kindly be ready.
In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, you were on a morning walk and you asked your disciple, pointing at some dry plants, and the disciple replied that, "Srila Prabhupada, they are of no use, they are only weeds." And you said, "Everything has its use, nothing is useless." Srila Prabhupada, you have an ability to utilize and engage even the most useless thing in Krishna's service. It is only due to your divine mercy that a useless, good-for-nothing fool like me is engaged in some service. Many years back, once on the appearance day of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj said, "Among many things which we received from Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, one is unlimited opportunity to serve. So it is you who have created such facilities that anybody who sincerely desires to serve the Lord has every opportunity to do so. I was like that weed which was useless, as your disciple has stated. But I have experienced in my own life, I know that for sure. If it would not have been for that little sweet push of devotees and your followers, then I would have never thought of getting engaged in different activities of the temple. It is all because of you, Srila Prabhupada. Your ISKCON has facilitated these opportunities for thousands and thousands of devotees. I thank the authorities to give me a chance to glorify you. But how can I even attempt to describe your infinite beauty? I am nothing more than a filthy animal who offers endless offenses to the dust of your divine lotus feet. I have no intelligence or knowledge of any words which I can glorify your holy appearance. Who am I to glorify you? I simply do not possess the ability to do so. And this puts me in lamentation. I can only say that I am very happy that you have given me shelter by allowing me to be in the association of a wonderful Vaishnavas and always remain engaged in the service of Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada, your father, a wonderful Vaishnava, gave such a good samskaras that at early age you were well-mannered and perfect in all etiquettes essential for a spiritual practitioner. He trained you in a proper Vaishnava culture. But when you arrived at US and stayed at Shelly Agarwal's place, you had to share the refrigerator which was full of meat and eggs. You stayed at Bowery, which was such a degraded place. You associate with hippies who were all drug addicts and drunkards. It was really intolerable for any person who is in such a elevated spiritually, like your divine grace, and yet so accommodative. Sometimes in our devotee circle, so-called devotees, when we find our neighbors cooking onion and garlic, we by that smell make such faces and act as if we cannot stand that smell. Similarly, if we pass by a fish market, we irk, as if we are pure sadhus. Before coming to devotional life, we had performed so many nasty things. But you, your divine grace, were a born Vaishnava who had descended from Golok. I remembered that pastime of yours when Shyam Sundar Prabhu, while carving the first Jagannath deity of ISKCON, was smoking and had even kept the ashtray on Lord Jagannath's head. and you simply inquired why you are bringing the cigarette between you and Jagannath. You could have easily chastised him. You had full right to do so. But you are so accommodative that you see positivity in every little service offered by someone. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for accommodating a filthy animal like me. On a Vyas Puja day, we are supposed to make an offering to the Acharya. But considering my own position, I am again begging from your divine grace and my authorities in temple that please force me to engage wholeheartedly in your service. I am ashamed to admit that without such pressure, I will not do so. I am such a rascal, fool and weak-hearted. Your dog, Vamsi Gopal Das.
Thereafter, after Brajila Mataji speaks, I'd like to request Giriraj Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. I am very grateful to you for having given us shelter in your home. His Holiness Satswarupa Swami Maharaj has rightly said, you have built a house where the whole world can live. How apt it is. Srila Prabhupada, your home is not just made of material ingredients. You have built the foundation with the stones of determination. And the foundation is itself of love and compassion. You have built the walls with the spiritual strength and cemented with the loving relationships. You have and also you have used the wood of tolerance for doors and windows and the mud of humility for flooring. And you have made the proprietor the Supreme Lord Himself of this home. And all the all the fortunate souls who have secured shelter in your home are insignificant servants of the servants of the servants of this proprietor, who is the wealthiest, the most learned, the most beautiful, the strongest, the famous, and at the same time completely detached. Srila Prabhupada, you are perfect. You have given this perfect knowledge. And you are sheltering millions of suffering souls in your home to make their lives perfect. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, for giving me a loving and most loving and merciful spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who has, by His causeless mercy, accepted me and given shelter at His lotus feet. Please continue, Srila Prabhupada, to show your causeless mercy to all the suffering souls. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj writes in one of his books that just like when Krishna was very small, in Vrindavan, a fruit seller lady comes and she sees that such a small boy who cannot even walk properly, he's so small, bringing out few grains in his hands which are also falling off. And seeing this most wonderful form of the Lord, fruit seller lady gives all her fruits to Krishna. And in return, Lord filled her entire basket with most precious jewels. Giriraj Maharaj writes there that similarly, devotees saw an old Indian gentleman, so fragile, looking so weak. And they thought that he needs our help. And they tried to help Srila Prabhupada in very small their own way. But in return, Srila Prabhupada filled their life with most precious Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, whoever came in touch with you, you transformed their life. Your every word, your every look, your every step, your a single movement of your hand, a smile, has a potential to transform unlimited living entities. As Dwarkadish Prabhu just now said, how the famous Minister of Parliament, Mr. Dharam Singh Desai, met you, tried to serve you, and you transformed their entire dynasty as a devotees. Same thing when you met Mr. Mafatlal. His entire family are now wonderfully surrendered at the lotus feet of Shri Radha Gopinath. One doctor tried to serve you by operating a small abscess in your finger. You took that doctor's grandchild in your lap, and that same grandchild became later on Brajpriya Mataji. Srila Prabhupada, there was one wonderful program which was held at Cross Maidan. And in that Cross Maidan, one person was coming every day, hearing your lecture, and then he went away. Years went by, he came in touch with certain people, certain association, and he had all the bad habits of this modern lifestyle. Years went by, and he developed gangrene of his one feet, and his one leg had to be amputated at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Sometime later, his other leg also developed gangrene, and that also had to be amputated. Today, Srila Prabhupada, that person, he's chanting your holy name. His daughter, his son-in-law, and his grandson, they are initiated devotees of our movement. That small touch of his with your divine grace, you never left him. One day, late in the evening, we got a phone call, is there any bed in your ICU? And we asked, why do you want an ICU? So that family doctor told us that one person is very sick, he cannot get any admission near Borivali, can you please admit him? We admitted him at our hospital. He had a heart failure, lung failure, kidney failure. He was on the intensive care unit. And 2 days later, while Bhagavad Gita was being chanted, holy name was being sung, Tulsi on his mouth, Gangajal, and he left his body. While his last journey was going on, as a custom, they gave a small food to carry with that particular person. And amazingly, that individual was carrying Radhashtami's, Radharani's personally offered Mahaprasad with him. Little looking back, we came to know that this person had a chemist shop in Borivali, and he had offered to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books on his counter for entire one December month. And that one little service, Srila Prabhupada, you never forgot. His Grace Harsh Govind Prabhu, who is a wonderful Vaishnava from Radha Giridhari Mandir, was one day sharing his experience. One of his brother's associates was telling me about one person who used to be a municipal in a municipality, in a big officer. And one day when our Juhu temple was under construction, he went there. He happened to be a very firebrand officer. Whenever he go, he will not finish his work, and he will not return without finishing his work. He went there in the temple with the intention to break the structure in the initial days. Srila Prabhupada called him in his room. There was a conversation for 10-15 minutes. After that, that person left without doing anything, any harmful act to our temple. Years went by, decades went by. His daughter and his son-in-law happened to go to some temple, and they offered him that, why don't you come, Baba, to the place where we go? You never come to our place. So that gentleman with his daughter and his son-in-law went to the temple. And as soon as he reached temple, he saw the most wonderful form, deity form of Srila Prabhupada. And there and there he started crying. And with a trembling voice, he said, this is the same person whom I met few years back, and I had gone there with an intention to break this temple. Srila Prabhupada, you never forgot his service. One small boy, a five-year-old boy, went with his father to a newly built, being built Juhu temple. And in his own words, he said that he was standing in a queue and Srila Prabhupada was offering Mahaprasad to every individual. And he said, I was so much afraid that I was behind my father. And when my turn came, my father forcibly brought me in front of Srila Prabhupada. And he said that I just saw a saffron glow, nothing else. And then he took Mahaprasad from Srila Prabhupada's divine hands. He honored that. And after years, today he is a Chaturatma Das Prabhu who is doing wonderful service in our temple. Srila Prabhupada, in 1969, there was one boy who was going to Bhagini Samaj School in Charni Road. And in third standard, that boy's friend, Yatin, brought one magazine to him. And in that magazine, there was a beautiful photograph of Lord Chaitanya. And that boy asked, who is this bright-looking person? He said, Yatin said that he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he asked, who are these dark side people are in this darkness? He said, these are the common people. And that boy asked, who is this person with this finger like this? And that boy said, he is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, by your mercy, your Vaishnavas, your dear devotees, carried that boy, and today he is Giriraj Das. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu, for that very heart-melting, beautiful offering which you have just given. I'd like to request Ruhinandan Prabhu, and thereafter Kishori Mataji, please be ready.
When I first visited Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Temple at Juhu, certainly the deities were very charming, beautiful, attractive. But what fascinated were the deities of Srila Prabhupada. As if someone live, sitting there and about to speak. That was my first introduction to Srila Prabhupada, way back close to 1978. Every year, the next day is what is celebrated as Prabhupada Appearance Day, and this will always continue. After a tiring Janmashtami celebration, devotees look forward to take part in this celebration of Srila Prabhupada. Why? To hear the glory of Lord's pure devotee who has given us wonderful Krishna, to know how wonderful he is. Puni puni kitne hi sune hi sunaye, jiye ki pyaas bujhat na bujaye. This is the beauty of Lord's pastime. This is the beauty of the devotees in relation to the Lord's pastime. No matter how much we hear, almost every one of us may be knowing several things, may not be knowing several things, but we take great joy when his pure devotee is glorified. I will like to speak Prabhupada's amongst many glories, one aspect that Prabhupada was a no-complaint man. When he was in, due to some circumstances, he was asked to leave Jhansi. He was on his own. And by this time, because many of his godbrother has identified that Srila Prabhupada is a great writer, great author, great preacher. Therefore, they were looking forward that how we can utilize his expertise of writing and the skill so that, in short, they wanted to utilize Prabhupada's expertise. And somehow it was managed that since Prabhupada had no place, so he was living in Gaudiya Math at New Delhi. And there, he was looking forward to take Sajjan Toshni, a magazine, in glorification of preaching movement. He wanted this magazine to become, at that time, the Illustrated Weekly of India was very popular. We are, people of our generation know that. And he wanted Sajjan Toshni to be more popular probably than Life magazine of USA and Time magazine of USA. And he was giving his life for writing this book. And at that time he was passing through the worst time of his life. The kind of a discouraging letter he got from the PA of his godbrother, Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada, you are an educated person. You are spending your time with some illiterate people and those who do not respect you. They have no training. And you have some lofty speculative idea of taking, you know, things forward. And in addition, you also have a project of writing. You are the head of head editor for writing Gaudiya Patrika as well as Bhagavat Patrika under the direction of Kesav Maharaj. And somehow you are not able to fulfill that project. Therefore, it will be better for you to, that you move from this place and help Kesav Maharaj, or who is about to begin his parikrama also, it will be helpful. There was no requirement of Srila Prabhupada to, you know, pay any kind of a contribution for this parikrama or anything. At that time, Prabhupada had to leave Gaudiya Math and he had no place to go. He was changing his place of, by the time he gets his reply of his letter, his place will be somewhere else. That kind of a situation. Srila Prabhupada never experienced something like this. Sometime he was living in a temple, sometime in a dharamsala, sometime in a room of a college, Kapoor College, and for some time. And no food. Those kind of a situation Prabhupada went at that time. And mind you, a person in whose house every day devotees must be visiting to have prasad. No problem of food, shelter ever. And he went through that time, but he never complained. Why? Because he has faith. Because he wanted that Krishna wants me to serve my godbrothers so that I can serve my Guru Maharaj. This was his mood. And Srila Prabhupada, one most amazing aspect, you accepted people. Generally what happened in this material world, whether it's husband-wife relationship, boss or employee relationship, or a partner's relationship, any relationship, what generally people spend their life, you accept people as they are and you carry on. You accepted people as they are and you carried on. But one beautiful aspect of your teaching and training was you accepted people and you trained them and you helped them to become what you wanted them to become. Srila Prabhupada, this contribution of yours is also being followed in some of your centers and where people are benefited by your teaching. I am also one of the recipients of this teaching and I want to thank you for giving me this. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. The offerings are very beautiful and very, very meaningful, full of substance. However, since we have devotees who would like to speak, the list is quite long. Kindly request you to keep your offerings as crisp and short as possible to accommodate more speakers.
This year during my summer traveling, I saw many beautiful temples all over the world and many beautiful devotees. I came across few letters which were written in 1965 in the month of November. The first letter at that time you had written when you had shifted from Sally Agarwal's house to New York and you were struggling there to open a center. On the 8th November, you have written a letter to Tirtha Maharaj and in that you have stated that in America there is ample of wealth, there is a lot of food to eat and there is a lot of prosperity, but people are hungry for Krishna consciousness. So I want to open a center. One facility I need to spread Krishna consciousness. Ramakrishna Mission and other places are here, but they are not allowing me to speak the philosophy of Bhagavatam. They are allowing me to do kirtan, but they are not allowing me to speak. So I am requesting you, you were telling to Tirtha Maharaj, that I have seen one place which costs around 5 lakh rupees plus 2 lakhs for some inner facilities. If it is possible for you to please send that money to America. His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's all rich Marwadi disciples are under you. So please, it will not be so difficult for you to collect 10 lakhs rupees. Please send this money and I will work. If you agree, then I will be one of the workers of Sri Mayapur Chaitanya Math. I have no ambition for becoming the proprietor of any math or mandir, but I just want working facilities. And you can send some devotees who speak English and who can recite Sanskrit and they can spread and you can come here and you can become the guru of this matha. I will just keep on opening the other centers. On 10th November 1965, you wrote a second letter to Sumati Murarji, saying to Sumati Murarji that, as you knew very well, that she was very much interested in listening to Bhagavatam and she was a devotee of Lord Balakrishna. He said, Lord Balakrishna is very happy that the message of Bhagavatam will be spread in the city of New York. And I am here struggling to spread this message. I need a facility to speak this message. And then you were writing to her, describing in detail that you have met a broker and who has given this particular, shown you particular house which costs around 1,10,000 or $11,000, which costs around 5 lakh rupees. And then you mentioned that although in India we are allowing many American missionaries to open, you know, their churches, but there is not a single Hindu temple of Krishna in the entire New York City. So if you please send me this money, then in the history of the world it will be recorded that the first Hindu temple was opened by a pious Hindu lady, a business magnate in India. And then you actually send her all the details of how exactly the property is and how she should send the money. On 13th of November, you wrote a letter to Sally Agarwal. In the beginning, you described to her that how are her children and how everything is happening in New York. And you have written to her that it is very difficult for you to stay in a place where you are presently sitting and staying. And it's a very precarious situation. If you want to shift to a better house, you have to pay $55 a month, which is not possible for you. So you told her that you have a very nice business proposal for her. Since you, Sally always liked your cooking, so you wrote to her that, Sally, I have a very nice business proposal for you. You can purchase this place and I will run the vegetarian restaurant and I will give you $2,000 per month. I will earn that money for you, but I will need the facility there to preach. And we can see, Srila Prabhupada, that in all the three letters, just written in the matter of 5 days, you were thinking so deeply how somehow or other to get some facility to speak and spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the mercy of Krishna and our Guru Parampara, you have opened so many centers all over the world and so many devotees are helping you now to run these centers. In Delhi they are opening 6 temples, in Mumbai already there are 4 temples. In Mumbai, any time you walk, even in the evening time at suburbs, you see devotees with tilak and bead bag chanting Hare Krishna on the roads. This has only happened because of your prayers. Recently we got a call from Ukraine. The head of the Ukraine devotees, he was saying that one new devotee who was working on internet and he was trying to get some business, and there was an Indian lady on the other side. That Indian company wanted to open a big center in Ukraine. And they were asking this devotee, they did not know that he was a devotee, that can you help us because you speak the Ukrainian language and you can help us to establish this place. So this person asked, how much money I will get? Saying, and it was written $300,000 you will get. So this devotee was asking the Indian person that please give me more money. So the Indian lady asked him, why do you need more money? He said, I want to give to a temple, a Radha Krishna temple. So the message came on the chat from the opposite side, which temple and where? So he mentioned that I want to open a temple, I want to help the Ukraine temple and ISKCON temple. And immediately in the next chat, she said, oh, I am also a Hare Krishna devotee and I also would like to take some part of this profit for my temple. And that devotee, she was from Radha Gopinath temple, and the devotee who was in Ukraine was aspiring disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So, and they are working together to help both the temples. So we could see, Prabhupada, that how now so many hands are there to help you and to spread this mission. You as one Indian, you went all over the world and opened so many temples. Now all of us are there to help you and assist you and to become instruments in your hands to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna.
Shamanand Prabhu is here. Shamanand Prabhu, if you are here, kindly make your offering. Dajanda Prabhu. After that, I could request... Anand Gopal Prabhu, yes.
Srila Prabhupada, kindly accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. This auspicious day, I wanted to just take some of the points. Prabhupada, he was openly giving the truth. There is no hidden secret. Very simple. Not to wait for any secret. He opens up everything. So here, Srila Prabhupada, it was on March 1976 at Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing his disciples about the success of preaching mission. What is the real success? He was openly giving it for the disciples. Normally Prabhupada always used to say, my disciples and my grand disciples, they must do thousandfold better than me. This was his mood. So Srila Prabhupada said, you must always convince that If we take simply the knowledge given by Lord Krishna, then you are perfect. The knowledge from Krishna is the perfect. This you have to always keep it in mind. That is the full knowledge. Then further he says, little success for me is due to my conviction in this point. What is that point? That is, if we simply take up the knowledge given by Lord Krishna, then you are perfect. Further, Prabhupada says, I never compromise anything which is not spoken by Lord Krishna. Quite authentic. In 1972, this very one point I wanted to narrate, there was a GBC meeting. Because GBC meeting, normally they do lots of churning their programs, what will be the budget, what are the planning, everything is going on GBC, governing body committee. So Srila Prabhupada asked, he went inside, he said, I'll ask one question to the GBC members. I'll ask one question. You know the question? Do you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It was so confusing because they bought big planning and big ledgers and all to indicate, show their... This is such a simple question. Prabhupada was asking three times. Do you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? To the GBC. Some members said yes, no. All got confused. You know, they never expected this question. Then Prabhupada said, I have that faith. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'll tell you, if all GBC, if you have that full faith, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within 18 days, we can give Krishna consciousness to the whole world we can conquer. Within 18 days. So this is the mood of Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada, on this auspicious day, please grant us this conviction fully so that we can serve you in this movement as a servant of the servant of the servant. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
I'd like to request Rasmanjari Mataji, and thereafter, Rasmanjari Mataji, and then thereafter, Pradishundari Mataji.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. On your wonderful auspicious appearance day, please accept the humble offerings from your unqualified grandchild. Srila Prabhupada, I still very distinctly remember how in the very first hour of your holy association, in the form of your transcendental literature coming back, you had set the ball rolling for me. In just about an hour, you gave me a clear vision and a clear path. And since that day, you have been constantly guiding me with your cane on my back in the form of this wonderful home, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that you have created. On the back cover page of Lilamrit, it is stated that you have created a home in which the whole world can live in. I had the first-hand experience of this in my early days of ISKCON while traveling to a farm with a group of devotees. This group consisted of people from different backgrounds, different colors of their skin, different languages they spoke, from different countries and different continents. It was such an amazing sight to see how your home had created a wonderful unity in such a vast diversity. Whenever anyone creates a home, the normal tendency is to put a huge nameplate outside their names engraved on the nameplate outside. Srila Prabhupada, when you created this wonderful home, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, You could have easily connected it with your name on it. You insisted that it be called International Society for Krishna Consciousness and not even International Society for God Consciousness. When some devotees suggested that it could attract more people to get connected. This shows that how your vision and mission was very clear without any ambiguity. On your first trip to the US in the ship, you had prayed to the Lord that you just wanted to be a puppet in His hands and the Lord could do whatever He wanted with you. Today, on this wonderful auspicious day, Srila Prabhupada, I humbly beg unto your lotus feet, in spite of all the anathas in my heart, to make me a puppet in your hands and make me dance the way you want me to dance. I repeatedly beg to protect me from all the false pride and the uncontrollable lust and envy which is so deeply rooted in my heart. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for this wonderful home. Thank you.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances at your divine lotus feet. On this auspicious day of your divine appearance, I really feel grateful to be given this opportunity to speak few words in your glorification. Dear Prabhupada, in accomplishing the order given by your spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you went through so much struggles and ups and downs. In Jhansi, as far as distributing Back to Godhead magazines, as we saw in the film Going to the West, with seasickness and heart attacks, translating all the literatures in English language, preaching to hippies, in India achieving Juhu land, and the list is really endless. But with complete faith and dependence on the mercy of your spiritual master and on the holy name of the Lord, you continued with full determination and enthusiasm, and we all are here due to your hard work. Srila Prabhupada, today I really pray at your lotus feet that no matter let ups and downs keep coming in this material world, but let me with full faith and dependence do the hard work by taking shelter of your books, holy name of the Lord, association of wonderful devotees, and be an insignificant instrument in spreading this message to others. You're insignificant.
Hare Krishna. After Mataji, then Radha Mataji, please be ready. And then Sankirtan Prabhu, please be ready also.
My dearest Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. Our lives are made of your countless blessings. And Vyas Puja is a day where we can formally express our gratitude. Today I want to thank you and express my gratitude for the clarity that you have given us in our lives. We were confused as who we are, and you told us you are the spirit souls, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. We were confused who is the Supreme God, and you clarified Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We were confused. What is our connection to Krishna? And you clarified, Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishner Anityadas. We are eternal servants of Krishna. You also clarified that chanting the holy names is the only way to revive our forgotten relationship with Krishna. As a patriot, we were confused. What is our duty as Indians? And you clarified, Bharat Bhumi to Hoyle Manushya Janmajar, Janma Sarthaka Kari Karapara Upakar, that we perfect our lives and help in our best capacity to others to perfect their lives. We were confused how to fulfill this big responsibility, and you simplified, Jara Dekha Tara Kaho Krishna Upadesh, just speak about Krishna to anyone whom you meet. We were confused how to practice renunciation in Grihastha Ashram, and you gave us the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Srila Prabhupada, the very nature of this world is creating confusion and misguidance. But your books, the law books, always rectify our consciousness and remove the confusion. I want to thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for the blessings in the form of association of your wonderful disciples, your grand disciples and great grand disciples, who helped me to remain faithful to your mission and accept the clarity that you are imparting and helping me to implement in my life for your pleasure and pleasure of all the Vaishnavas. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for everything. We love you and hope to reciprocate with your love by being of some service to you in some way, someday. Thank you very much.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my obeisances. I don't deserve to be standing here and glorifying such a wonderful person like you, but given the chance, I wouldn't miss the opportunity to simply thank you from the core of my heart. My list of thank you is extremely long. I don't know from where to start thanking you. You took that difficult journey, you went, you preached single-handedly, and for that I can simply thank you for all that you have given us. Had it not been for that, and this wonderful Krishna conscious movement, that you saved all our lives, and such a wonderful spiritual master that you gave us, such a wonderful movement, more importantly, your disciples, for example, Yamuna Mataji, Dinatarni Mataji, and the many more, who are shining examples and guiding beacons to all of us. And lastly but not the least, I want to thank you for the books that you have written, which not only teach us everything that we need to know but much more. So all I can just tell you is thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. We will not be able to repay the debt, but all we can pray is that we could humbly serve you and help you in this mission. Hare Krishna.
Sangita Prabhu, after that request Radharani Mataji and then Dayanidhi Prabhu, please be ready.
Yesterday I was just reflecting on this thought that this year happens to be the 40th anniversary of Bhaktivedanta Manor, and this year happens to be the 25th anniversary of Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. And I was just thinking that how this organization has spread in so many countries. And then I could make a connection that it is because of Srila Prabhupada, and because he has given this message in a very, very pure way. There is no hidden motive, and it is, this message is to all types of people. It has been given in a very, very non-sectarian way, and through this we can see that all types of people are attracted to this movement. They may be from different colors, caste, religion. And this was because of Srila Prabhupada's ultimate purity. Srila Prabhupada was definitely a multifaceted Vaishnava, and he had wonderful, amazing qualities. And one of the qualities I want to highlight is that his power of identifying the hidden potential amongst people. And sometimes it would be at the first sight. He's seeing somebody first time and just giving a complete vision for this person. Just like when Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu that came, so immediate reaction was that these are the pujaris of Shishir Radha Madhav. So this was possible because Srila Prabhupada has the ultimate purity, and he could see the person not from the external point of view, but he could go deep and see that how this person can be connected to Krishna's service. And through this he had a tremendous passion for engaging people in Krishna's service. And we can see that even somebody was mentioning about Shyam Sundar Prabhu, who was in the beginning doing this, carving the deity of Jagannath. And that also, how it happened that they just found a small deity, out of curiosity they brought and showed to Prabhupada that this is what is this actually, they just found it. And Srila Prabhupada saw that Shyam Sundar Prabhu is a wooden sculptor, and he gave him the big project to carve the deities of Jagannath and to make a Rath Yatra festival. Even George Harrison, we can see that when in the beginning of movement, anybody wants to join the movement, the mantra was there to join the temple. So that was the condition. Without joining the temple, they are not part of the movement. So there was a dilemma in the mind of George Harrison. So he was saying that whether I should shave head and come and stay in the temple as a brahmachari. But Srila Prabhupada saw that what is best for him, not for my interest, that if this influential person comes, then maybe I will attract more people, maybe more brahmacharis will join. But that was not the desire. But what is best for that person, and how this person through his talents can spread the mission, spread the message of Lord Krishna. And he told him that you continue singing and make the Krishna's lyrics and CDs like that. And even we can see that at Cross Maidan Pandal, when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that time was like a sadhu wandering mendicant, he was just sitting somewhere in the middle of thousands of people. But Srila Prabhupada, from a far distance, he could identify a person and call him on the stage. So nobody can actually understand how and at what level Srila Prabhupada was looking at the things. And now we can see that how we are here actually because of the wonderful guidance of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So this organization Srila Prabhupada has given, and the books which he has written and the words and certain sentences are really amazing. Like, and it's so simple. Just like the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness has been given. And one sentence particularly strikes me is that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial condition on the mind. It is a natural, original, natural living energy of every living entity. So every person, whether he may be a householder, a brahmachari, sannyasi, he may be from any religion, he can participate. He can be part of the organization and receive the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. This is the glory of Srila Prabhupada, what ISKCON he has founded, where there is a place for everyone. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving such wonderful organization.
Giriraj Maharaj and Bhakti Charu Maharaj very wonderfully explained in the memories how Prabhupada was such an exemplary leader. He displayed a wonderful blend or balance of strictness combined with concern and compassion for his disciples. He trained the disciples in such a wonderful way and empowered them. He was strict, but he never hesitated to perform any of the austerities that he expected his disciples to perform. Giriraj Maharaj describes how during the Kumbh Mela, Srila Prabhupada would himself get up early in the morning and take bath with that freezing cold water so that his disciples should do the same, because he was concerned that disciples were not coming for Mangal Arati because of the cold. So although he was strict, but he was like the commander. He would be in the front, empowering and inspiring his disciples. Also, his compassion and concern was exemplary. When Prabhupada was sick and he was subsisting on barely fruit juice and water, still he would be concerned about his disciples. Once he inquired about the prasad that the devotees were eating, and when he was told that it was not very good, he was concerned. He said they should be eating good prasadam. So even though he was not taking anything, but he was concerned about his disciples. So it was this perfect blend of compassion and concern combined with strictness that helped him to empower and inspire his disciples, and he continues to do so even today. Srila Prabhupada, I beg at your lotus feet that someday we can achieve this standard of Krishna consciousness, where we can be very strict with ourselves and accommodating with others. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. After Dayanandi Prabhu speaks, then request Sridhama Sakha Prabhu, and thereafter Amritana Mataji, kindly be ready.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please accept our humble obeisances at your lotus feet, Srila Prabhupada. Once our Srinivas Acharya Prabhu shared some pastimes of Prabhupada with us. I would like to narrate one of that pastime. During Srila Prabhupada's final days in Vrindavan, devotees were serving Srila Prabhupada, and there was this Shatadanya Prabhu who was servant of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, you called him to your room and you told him, Shatadanya, please don't leave me and go. And Shatadanya Prabhu said, no Prabhupada, I will not leave you and go. And then after an hour, again you called him and said, Shatadanya, please don't leave me and go. Like that, Shatadanya Prabhu was wondering why you are saying this. And then again in the evening, he was serving you and you called him and said, Shatadanya, please don't leave me and go. So Shatadanya Prabhu was again asking you, Prabhupada, why are you asking me this question? So Prabhupada, you said, Shatadanya, if you leave me and go, nobody will take care of you. So that is very true for us today also, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for creating such a wonderful home and sheltering all these needy people, all of us. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. So, on this very auspicious day, as a son of a teacher, person who was teaching for all his life, I would like to speak about Srila Prabhupada's aspect as the supreme, ultimate teacher. So, Srinivas Acharya has said, again, the original Srinivas Acharya has said, Nana Shastra Vicharane Kanipuno Sad Dharma Samsthapako. So the six Goswamis, they made the effort of studying all the different scriptures and taking its essence and bringing it into something which could be, you know, digested by people. And then it is also said about the Gita, in the Gita Mahatmya it is said that Sarvopanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopalanandana Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhukta Dugdham Gita Mritam Mahat. So this Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all Upanishads, is like a cow, and Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking his cow. Arjun is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. So what Srila Prabhupada has done, actually the Goswamis have actually taken the essence of all the literatures, all the Vedic literatures, and written it down for everyone to consume in beautiful Sanskrit. Srila Prabhupada, he has actually taken even the essence of what the Goswamis have given and brought it down to the level of common people like all of us, who have no understanding of Sanskrit, have no understanding of culture, have no understanding of who is God, no understanding of who we are also. We have no understanding of anything. And Srila Prabhupada brought the essence of this vast body of literature and brought it into a very simple language which everybody can understand, which is why I say he's the ultimate teacher. A good teacher does the following. He gives the essence of any concept in simple language at the level where the student is. So if the student is at a low level, he is able to explain a very high concept, but in simple language which the basic student in a class can understand. But at the same time, he also has the ability to connect to the scholarly student who is also sitting in the same classroom, someone who is very scholarly, a little advanced devotee. Srila Prabhupada's books are written in such a manner, his teachings are given in such a manner, he is able to appeal to the simple devotee, to the basic devotee as well as the advanced devotee. He gives very simple, beautiful examples and analogies. I'm not going to the details. Of course, everyone knows Prabhupada's books are just full of analogies, and that is what actually attracts people. When we preach and we quote the examples given by Srila Prabhupada, that's what really attracts them. He gives the practical application of the concept also with examples of how this has been applied by others. He speaks about the Goswamis, he speaks about the devotees. Devotees from the Bhagavatam give so many examples. And then finally, the best teacher ensures that the student also has a facility where he can practically apply this concept, which is what this ISKCON movement is all about. So, and finally, a good teacher continues to inspire his students even when they are physically separated and many years have passed since their direct connection with the teacher has passed. So, Srila Prabhupada, you are the ultimate teacher as you are teaching us the most important subject in this material world in the most sublime and simple manner with no expectations like any great teacher. And one who graduates from your school, one who graduates from the school of Srila Prabhupada, basically gets a leaving certificate from this material world and automatically passes the entrance exam of the spiritual world. So on this day, Srila Prabhupada, I sincerely pray at your lotus feet to be a sincere student who doesn't fail and hang around too much in the school, passes quickly while inspiring others to join your transcendental school. Hare Krishna.
After Amritana Mataji speaks, I request Janapriya Mataji and then Mahaprabhu Prabhu. Cherry on the cake.
Srila Prabhupada, you are a true sadhu. You have described sadhu as one who never complains. A sadhu tolerates and is very compassionate. He is known as Titikshava Karunika, tolerant and merciful to all. You have tolerated so many difficulties, so many problems and deficiencies and deviations, but have always remained calm and peaceful, in control of your senses, and have preached continuously through it all. Because of your purity and your desire to uplift the suffering humanity, you won the unflinching love and dedication of your followers, who are ready to do anything for you. To jump into the Ganges, to get you a glass of sparkling clean Ganges water, to go to China to preach under difficult circumstances, or to jump off the train at Delhi station at a moment's notice to start a center there. Srila Prabhupada, I admire in you the quality of being very broad-minded. You are able to accept everyone for what they are. When His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami came to you and complained, "Swamiji, even in your movement there is racism. I am being looked down upon because of the color of my skin." You replied, "It is their problem. Why are you getting affected and why are you stooping to their level?" This taught His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami not to be affected with the petty things of this world. I was recently inspired to read the biography of Mother Ladini, and indeed what a glorious life she led in your service and in the service of Lord Jagannath. She was just 41 when she left her body in the service of Vaishnavas. In a letter to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, just before she departed, she expressed that the only thing she was afraid of was offending Vaishnavas. Following in her footsteps, on your appearance day today, I pray at your lotus feet to protect me from committing Vaishnava Prad, and also for Naam Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva and Jeevadaya. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. I am eternally grateful to you for giving me your mercy. I was loitering around here and there, not knowing the goal of my life. But you have given me the loving association of devotees, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, by which I can understand the goal of human life. You have given us a special balanced diet of devotional service, consisting of association of devotees, books, chanting and diet for our spiritual health. Everything has been given to us in a platter, ready-made. My only duty is to accept it and be grateful. By reading your books, I could understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one has been emphatic about this like you. That helped me to develop faith in Krishna and the association of devotees. I left the association of Mayavadis because of this higher experience of love and care amongst the devotees. On this day, I pray for your mercy that I can continue to serve you by serving my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and his disciples in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. One lady who visited this temple yesterday for Janmashtami was moved to tears to see the hard work and dedication of devotees over here. All this was possible because of the guidance which we received from your books and from your disciples. Thank you very much for everything.
Srila Prabhupada, आपने हमको ये सिखाया है कि भक्ति का मतलब ये नहीं है कि मजे करना है, बल्कि कृष्ण को सरेंडर करना है. लोग सोच रहे थे कि हम मंदिर में जाएंगे, पूजा करेंगे और हम जो चाहेंगे वो मिल जाएगा. प्रभुपाद जी ने बताया है, भक्ति का मतलब है हाउ टू सरेंडर टू कृष्णा. कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी कल हमने मनाई, और कृष्ण इसलिए ही अपियर आते हैं, इस पृथ्वी के ऊपर अवतार लेते हैं कि हम इस दुखालय में से कैसे निकलें. वो दुखी हैं और वो अपनी लीला करके यहां ट्रेलर बताते हैं. जैसे पुराने जमाने में हम फिल्म देखते थे तो फिल्म के पहले ट्रेलर बताते थे. तो ट्रेलर बताते हैं कि इस दुनिया का ये मैं आया हूं, तुमको ये लीलाएं बता रहा हूं, प्लीज कम बैक, दिस इज नॉट ए प्लेस फॉर लिविंग. ये टेलर दिखा के स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड में आइएगा. लेकिन हम इतने ढीठ हो गए हैं, ये हॉस्पिटल है दुखालय, मतलब ये हॉस्पिटल है, हमारे डॉक्टर साहब हैं, और हॉस्पिटल में जाकर के हम चाहें कि हम अपने ढंग से रह सकें, मतलब अपने ढंग से कपड़े पहने, अपने ढंग से बाहर जाएं, अपने ढंग से दवाई लें, अपने ढंग से खाएं पिएं, हम कभी हमारा इलाज नहीं होगा. प्रभुपाद जी ने हमारे लिए ऐसी मेडिसिन, सिंपल मेडिसिन दी है कि इस भौतिक जगत जो कि अस्पताल है और प्रभुपाद जी उसके डॉक्टर हैं, उस डॉक्टर ने हमको ऐसी दवाई दी है जिससे कि हर व्यक्ति का इलाज बहुत सरल तरीके से हो सकेगा. अभी हमारे लिए लोगों ने इतना उल्लू बनाया है, एक कैसे बनाया है, आप माफ करना जरा मैं बोलना चाहूंगा. दिस मॉर्निंग आई वॉज गिविंग, मैं जू टेम्पल में बोल रहा था तो मैंने दो स्टोरी बता के वहां मैं खत्म कर दूंगा. तो जब मैंने वो दो स्टोरी बोली तो दो प्रभुपाद के डिसाइपल थे वहां, एंड बोथ ऑफ द एक दम वन ऑफ दम आर सन्यासी. प्लीज डोंट टेक आई एम प्रेजिंग माई सेल्फ. एक बार सन्यासी और अनदर वाज सीनियर पर्सन 60 मोर देन 60. सो आफ्टर माई टॉकिंग वन ऑफ दैम ही वॉज हैविंग प्रभुपाद राधा रानीज गार्लैंड. तो गार्लैंड को मैं जैसे मैंने बोलना बंद किया और उसने भाई बोला कैन यू आप अपनी प्लीज गिव योर गार्लैंड टू मी, आई वॉन्ट टू गिव माई गार्लैंड टू यू. सीनियर पर्सन, मैंने सोचा ठीक है, मैंने उनकी गार्लैंड ले ली, उन्होंने मेरे को. बाद में जो सीनियर सन्यासी थे उन्होंने पूछा बोथ ऑफ अस, हम दोनों लोग समझते नहीं है आपने क्या बोला. दे आर ओनली टू पर्सन वहां पर जो कि हिंदी नहीं जानते थे. दो व्यक्ति ऐसे थे जिनको हिंदी नहीं आती थी और सब लोगों को हिंदी आती है. उन्होंने बोला आपके सुनने के बाद जो स्टोरी आपने दी है हमको इतना मजा आया है कि आई गेव माई गार्लैंड टू यू. मैंने कहा इस हमारे देश में प्रभुपाद जी की कृपा से जो हमारे यहां जो टेररिज्म हो रहा है वो टेररिज्म को प्रभुपाद जी ने खत्म किया. किस ढंग से खत्म किया? धर्म के नाम पर टेररिज्म. स्पिरिचुअल टेररिज्म को प्रभुपाद जी ने खत्म किया. कैसे? कि धर्म के नाम पर ये गॉड मैन लोगों को फॉरेन कंट्रीज में जाकर प्लेन से, हर प्लेन से एक भगवान उतरता है. तो उन्होंने प्रभुपाद जी ने हमको बताया कि भगवान की डेफिनेशन है जिसमें छह गुण, मैं आई एम नॉट गोइंग टू गो इन डिटेल, जिसमें छह गुण होना चाहिए और वो छह गुण जो है वो भगवान कृष्ण में पाए जाते हैं. सबसे सुंदर, सबसे ताकतवर, सबसे जो है इंटेलिजेंट, सबसे फेमस, सबसे धनी, सबसे रेनाउंस, ये उनके अंदर पाए जाते हैं. लेकिन एक दिस वाज द लेक्चर गिवन बाई अवर देवामित स्वामी इन जे मेडिकल कॉलेज. तो एक मेडिकल कॉलेज का लड़का बोला कि आपका सब्जेक्ट था टेररिज्म एंड व्हाट यू आर टॉकिंग आई वी आर नॉट इंटरेस्टेड टू लिसन अबाउट कृष्णा. तो वेट ए मिनट, आई एम टॉकिंग अबाउट टेररिज्म. नहीं, वो लड़का बोलता है नहीं, मैं भगवान को जानता हूं जो गुलाब जामुन बना सकता है, अंगूठी बना सकता है, जो कि लोगों की बीमारी दबूति खा करके खत्म कर सकते हैं. तो अच्छा, तो तुम्हारे भगवान ये कर सकते हैं? तो अगर वो अंगूठी बना सकते हैं तो सरकार और देन ही गेव बिग, सरकार का जो है वो भी बहुत बड़े जादू करता है. अगर वो एक अंगूठी बनाता है तो उसको बोलो कुछ 500 टन सोना बना दे तुम्हारा भगवान तो भारतवर्ष की कुछ प्रॉब्लम सॉल्व हो. या गुलाब जामुन बनाता है तो इतने बनाए कि लोग गुलाब जामुन खाएं, सब लोगों का पेट भर जाए. देन ही सेड इंडिया इज द ग्रेटेस्ट टेररिस्ट कंट्री इन द वर्ल्ड. The people are not having any spiritual quality and you are making them God, भगवान, और उनको पूजा करते हो. You people are terrorist. क्योंकि जिनमें भगवान की quality नहीं है उनको आप भगवान बनाकर और यहां से export करते हो उनको. और उन्होंने और भारतवर्ष के लोगों ने तो सिर्फ वहां पर वर्ल्ड ट्रेड सेंटर में तो सिर्फ 3000 लोगों की मृत्यु की थी, लेकिन तुम लोग जो है लाखों लोगों का लाइफ स्पॉइल कर रहे हो बाय दिस टेररिज्म. सो मैंने अब दूसरी स्टोरी नहीं बोलूंगा क्योंकि टाइम हो गया है. वो मेरे को बोलेंगे कि आपको आप हरे कृष्ण.
Mahaprabhu is also a Krishna conscious terrorist. When he starts shooting, everyone's material life gets destroyed. I was one of the people hit by our bullets. That is why I'm here today. So we are coming to a close to this of this program, some of the last few events remaining. We would all like to hear, I'm sure, the divine holy words of Radhanath Swami on this beautiful occasion. Certainly he is not here in his physical presence. Nonetheless, his vani is with us, and what he has expressed to Srila Prabhupada
the Vyasapuja book. I would request Sridharma Prabhu to read his offering.
नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे डियर श्रील प्रभुपाद अर्लियर दिस ईयर एट केशी घाट इन वृंदावन ऑन अ ब्यूटिफुली डेकोरेटेड रो बोट इन यमुना रिवर वी ऑफर्ड अवर बिलवड डॉटर यमुना देवीज एशेज into the sacred current. With tears of both separation and gratitude, I felt that moment to be inconceivable, yet an intimate offering to you. She had dedicated every detail of her life to please you and has surely entered into the realm of your eternal servitude. Etched deeply in my soul is that moment in 1977 when I received the news that you had physically left us. The world seemed to have fallen into an abyss of heartbreak and confusion. What were we to do without your smile of encouragement, your gaze of resolve, or the knowledge that you were coming to see us to accept our offerings? Over time, we are realizing the sweetness of service in separation and feeling your divine grace guiding, protecting and empowering us to serve in ways that are beyond our imagination. Your divine grace is especially present in your books, the projects you inspired, and the hearts of those who love you. As the years pass, more and more of your loving followers are disappearing from this world and entering the realm of your eternal service. With the loss of these beloved souls, we are left in an immense void that can only be overcome by relinquishing our complacency and wholehearted taking shelter of you, Srila Prabhupada, by your words and chanting Krishna's names and serving your mission. I have come to realize that your presence is especially felt when I can sincerely appreciate the sacrifice of those devotees who have been touched and inspired by your divine grace. I pray to forever remain the servant of your beloved servants, Radhanath Swami. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki.
Hare Krishna. There will be many, many devotees amongst us. Practically all of us who are here who certainly want to stand up and speak our hearts to Srila Prabhupada. And that is very natural, because today is a day when we all gather here to express our individual and our collective gratitude for all that we have received bountifully from the oceanic mercy of His divine grace. Let us behold right now for a few minutes this beautiful altar where Srila Prabhupada is seated. It is a magnificent decoration, a labor of love. The beautiful flowers which adorn him, the beautiful garlands which he is wearing. We know that Srila Prabhupada is here and is receiving us, is receiving our love, receiving our prayers, receiving our offerings. Since we won't be able to speak all of us on today's evening, I would like to request all of you to spend a few minutes now in silence and prayer. Let this day not go without ourselves having adequately expressed our hearts. The relation with Sri Guru is a relation of the heart. It is not a verbal relationship, not a relation of physical association. When we offer our prayers in our hearts to Srila Prabhupada, we know they will reach Prabhupada by the medium of the Paramatma. A beautiful story always inspires me. which you have heard before, I'm sure before, the story of this wonderful Vaishnavi Prabhupada's disciple called Jagat Tarini Devi, the blessed wife of Purijan Prabhu, how she was a flamboyant actress in Australia, doing what the Australian actresses would have to do to be on the screen and whatever else is required. Having got in touch with Srila Prabhupada's beautiful movement and the magical effect it had on her heart, it transformed her from the type of lady she was living in the glamour world into a simple Vaishnavi wearing a sari with a head covered. And the magazine which came to the Prabhupada's hands showed these two pictures of her previous life and the life of a Vaishnavi. Prabhupada remarked, "You look so happy as a devotee." Another picture, that Jagannath Mataji was